Granena, by smelling, Gandham,
aroma.
Rasanena, by taste, Vai, exactly, Rasam, palate, Rupam, forms, Cha, also, Drishtya, by vision, Swasanam, contact, Tvacha, touch, Eva, as it were, Shrotena, by vibration of the ear, Cha, also, Upetya, by achieving, Nabaha, Gunatvam,
identification of ether,
Praneno, by sense organs, Cha, also, Akutim, material activities, Upaiti, attains, Yogi, the devotee, Granena Gandham Rasanena Vairasam Rupam Chadristya Svasanam Tvachaiva Shrotrena Chopetya Nabogunatvam Pranena Chakutim Apaiti Yogim. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Again, this is the devotee is leaving the material world by taking the touristic path, crossing the Milky Way, going through the Vaishvanara planet, going to Satyaloka, giving up the gross body into the conception of the gross body. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, by the vibrations of the ear, by ethereal identification, and the sense organs, by material activities. That was purport. Beyond the sky, there are subtle coverings resembling the elementary coverings of the universe. The gross coverings are a development of the partial ingredients of the subtle causes. So the yogi or devotee, along with liquidation of the gross elements, relinquishes the subtle causes like aroma by smelling. The pure spiritual spark, the living entity, thus becomes completely cleansed of all material contamination to become eligible for entrance into the kingdom of God. Text number 30. Sabhuta shukshmindriya shanikarshanam. The devotee thus surpasses the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature. Okay, got it. It's okay. He merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, in this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism and goodness. Let's look at that again. The devotee thus surpasses the gross and subtle forms. I'm just going to read it here. Slowly, though. It's okay. Don't say anything. The devotee thus surpasses the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism. Sounds like a hankara, huh? Yeah. And in that status, he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism and goodness. Looks like we should try and look at the word by word meanings here. Sahahi, the devotee, bhuta, the gross, sukshma, the subtle, indriya, senses, sannikarsham, the point of neutralization. San nikarsham. Sankarshan is the deity predominating false ego. Vasudev consciousness, Aniruddha mind, and Pradyumna intelligence. So we've all gone beyond that, and we're merging Aniruddha and Pradyumna in Sankarsha, looks like. Sannikarsha. The point of neutralization. Well, what does Karshati mean?
Karshati means to attract.
Okay. What does Krishna mean?
Krishna means all attractive.
Yeah, all attractive. Yeah. And so Nikarshan?
Ni is used as a negative of Krishna.
Negative or?
Of Krishna.
Okay. So San Nikarshan?
Samyak Krishna.
Huh?
So the San word is used as Samyak. Completely.
Skyrim is complete, yes. Sankirtan.
And ni is used as the negative of Krishna.
So we might say it means neutralization.
Completely neutralizing the
okay.
The
and then mana maya, the mental plane, deva maya, the mode of goodness, vikaryam, egoism. Yeah. The devotee thus surpasses the gross and subtle forms of the coverings, and there's a plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion. This point of neutralization thus reaches egoism and goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. So we're gradually understanding these things. Now, there's a 1, 2, 3 page purport. So it's very easy for me today. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, pure self-realization, as we have many times discussed, several times discussed, is the pure consciousness of admitting oneself to be the eternal servitor of the Lord. Thus one is reinstated, right? Origin of the jiva. Reinstated in his original position of transcendental loving service to the Lord. As will be explained clearly in the following verses. This stage of rendering service, rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord without any hope of emolument, means profit, I think, from the Lord or any other way, can be attained when the material senses are purified and the original pure state of the senses is revived. It is suggested herein that the process of purifying the senses is by the yogic way. Namely, the gross senses are merged in the mode of ignorance, and the subtle senses are merged in the mode of passion. The mind belongs to the mode of goodness, and therefore is called deva maya, or godly. Perfect purification of the mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. Therefore, simple attainment of goodness is also a material mode. One has to surpass this stage of material goodness and reach the point of purified goodness, or Vasudeva Sattva. This Vasudeva Sattva helps one to go into enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So Vasudeva Sattva is still not devotional service. It's not chit, but it's pure chit. So you can know Krishna. We may also remember in this connection that the process of gradual emancipation from by the devotees in the manner mentioned above, although authoritative, is not viable in the present age. Therefore, Mr. Gupta has rejected it. Because of people's being primarily unaware of yoga practice, the so-called yoga practice by the professional protagonists may be physiologically beneficial, but such small success can not help one in attainment of spiritual emancipation, as mentioned herein. 5,000 years ago, when the social status of human society was in perfect Vedic order, the yogic process mentioned herein was a common affair for everyone, because everyone, and especially the Brahmana and Kshatriya, was trained in transcendental arts under the care of a spiritual master, far away from home, in the status of Brahmacharya. Modern man, however, is incomplete, incompetent to understand it perfectly. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore has made it easier but for the prospective devotee in the present age in the following specific manner. Ultimately, there is no difference in the result. The first and foremost point is that one must understand the prime importance of
Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga. The living entity in different species of life are undergoing different terms of engagement according to their fruitive actions and reactions. But in the execution of different activities, one who secures some resources in bhakti yoga can understand the importance of service to the Lord through the causeless mercy of the Lord, as well as that of the spiritual master. A sincere soul is helped by the Lord through meeting a bona fide spiritual master, the representative of the Lord. By the instruction of such a spiritual master, one gets a seed of bhakti yoga. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that the devotee sow the seed of bhakti yoga in his heart and nurture it by the watering of hearing and chanting the holy name, fame, etc. This is all from the, what is it from? Instructions to Rupa Goswami? Or instructions to Sanatana Goswami? One of the two. Sanatana Shiksha or Rupa Shiksha in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah? The verses are there. Brahmani Brahmati Kong Bhagyavan Jeev. The simple process, Sanatana Shiksha. The simple process of offenselessly chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord will gradually promote everyone very soon to the stage of emancipation. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. The first stage is the offensive chanting of the holy name. And the second stage is the reflective stage of chanting the holy name. And the third stage is the offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the second stage only, the stage of reflective, between the offensive and offenseless stage, one automatically attains the stage of emancipation. And in the offenseless stage, one actually enters into the kingdom of God. Although physically he may apparently be within the material world. To attain the offenseless stage, one must be on guard in the following manner. Okay. Are you ready? How to be on guard. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means not only should one hear and chant of the holy name of Lord Krishna, the Lord is Rama Krishna, or systematically the 16 names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one should also read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam of Bhagavad Gita in the association of devotees. That's very important. I'd like to take note of that for my index. Yeah, I'm always quoting that, but I don't know where it's from. You should also hear and chant Bhagavad Gita. The primary practice of bhakti yoga will cause a seed sowed in the heart to sprout. And by a regular watering process, as mentioned above, the bhakti yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematically nurturing the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe. As we have heard in the previous verses, reach the effulgent sky, the Brahma Jyoti, and go further and farther and reach the spiritual sky where there are innumerable spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. Above all of them is Krishna Loka or Goloka, Vrindavan, where the growing creeper enters and takes repose at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. When one reaches the lotus feet of Lord Krishna at Goloka Vrindavan, the watering process of hearing and reading, as also chanting of the holy name in the pure devotional stage, fructifies, and the fruits grown there in the form of love of God are tangibly tasted by the devotee, even though he is here in the material world. The ripe fruits of love of God are relished only by the devotees constantly engaged in the watering process as described above. But the working devotee must always be mindful so the creeper which has so grown will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following considerations. One, offenses by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if he interferes with it. Two, one must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the pure devotee. Just as one protects a creeper by all around fencing. It so happens, three, that by the watering process some weeds are also grown. And unless such weeds are uprooted during the nurturing of the main creeper, or the bhakti yoga creeper, may be hampered. Actually, these weeds are material enjoyment, merging into the self and the absolute without separate individuality, many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense of enjoyment, and emancipation. There are many other weeds like disobedience to the tenets of the revealed scriptures, unnecessary engagements, killing animals, and hankering after material gain, prestige, and adoration. 6. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds, stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of God. 7. The devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the beginning. Only then will the healthy growth of the main creeper not be stunted. 8. And by so doing, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Krishna, even in this life, and be able to see the Lord in every step. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life incessantly in the constant association of the Lord. Who can relish this, and one who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world by other media. But key. So any questions or comments, observations, thoughts, ameliorations?
Yesterday,
he was saying that you go to Satyaloka.
And then yesterday,
you
said from Satyaloka,
you
go to...
It says here.
Huh?
Satyaloka. Well, it says here that we... From Satyaloka. Loka means realm, area, place, consciousness. You know, it doesn't mean like a ball of dirt. You know, ball of dirt, Satyaloka. So it's like... Right now, we're in Texas right now. You know, it's a different. Our consciousness is a Hare Krishna temple consciousness, but higher than that is Texas consciousness in one perspective. You know, we're not conscious in that consciousness. But some, you know, Texas state trooper, you call him that, whatever you call him here, if he comes in here on some business, his consciousness is Texas consciousness, right? Yeah. So we reach Satyaloka. And then it says the devotee then is able to, it's just natural in that place. It's like if you go someplace where everything's clean, it's natural to be clean. People come to Mayapur and they're smoking and everything and they're very arrogant and everything else. But after a little while, they can't smoke and so they give up all these crazy habits. It's very peaceful. The gardens are clean. There's kirtans going on. There's different diversions for your mind with prasadam. So they want to. They can maintain their selfish, egoistic, sinful consciousness. But it's much easier just to give it up, like that. So you give up the conception of I am a gross body. Yeah? I have this conception that I am the gross body, and that's what causes the gross body to develop. Okay, so you give the conception, right? And once that conception is gone, you know, then the subtle forms of the senses are also, you know, can let go of those, and they become what they are: stupidity, right? Or actually, the subtle forms become what they are, because passionate thoughts, thinking passionately. Because yeah? Passion, you know, when you want to enjoy matter, right? So you have to have senses. So you're thinking of your tongue, you're thinking of your stomach, you're thinking of these things, right? So you give those up, right? And then what happens? The devotee thus surpasses the gross and subtle forms of the coverings, enters a plane of egoism. Now, what's this egoism plane here? It's the vicarium, egoism, vicarium. But I guess it's a hankar, you know, a hankar, vikar, similar, huh? A hankara, vikara. I am the doer, right? Vikar, vikarya.
Vikara, actually, I think it's the way it's. Huh? That is because Shana Kali means something to be done, and V is again used as the something, something that should not be done.
Okay, or else it also means very intense, doesn't it?
Yeah, we also put Visheshana Kali, it means it intensely to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am the doer. Anyway, so it sounds like this. It's a platform of egoism. That I am the doer, I'm the creator, I should do this, I have to do that, you know. Yeah. So it comes to that platform, like a hankara, talking the same analysis. And then, what's after that? So in Brahmaloka, we're now going beyond the hankaras, but beyond Satyaloka. Yeah. Yeah. Plane of egoism, in that status, he merges the modes of nature, passion, and ignorance, and thus reaches egoism and goodness. So subtle, very subtle here. Of ego, after this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva. So we discussed that yesterday. It appears that we're talking about, Vaikuntha, causal ocean, Mahatattva, and Ahankara becomes a portion of Mahatattva. Right? So the material existence. So he merges egoism into material existence. Right? Yeah? And finally, he comes to the point of pure self-realization. Is that when he comes out of everything, out of material existence? Houston? Separate from Texas. It's a matter of consciousness. If you're a good citizen, if you're want to have a revolution and declare Houston an independent city-state, separate from the government of Houston, right? You have this egoism, false egoism. But if you identify Houston as a part of Texas, right? And you're a good citizen, right? And you're cooperating, everything's very nice, very practical. So it's the consciousness. So if you merge this egoism, so finally, is there any Houston? Well, no, not separate from Texas. So at that point, the material existence ceases to exist, right? As something separate from Krishna. All these things continue to exist, but now they're all, in their proper position. They're all energies of Krishna for the service of Krishna. Right? It's the prison. The prison at that point becomes very good because it's all for the service of the state. When I see it that way, then I live quite happily in the prison, using everything as designed for the service of the state. I should learn to take my I have some psychotic behavior, I have to take medication, I'm getting blood tests and tests, and finally the doctor's trying different medication, and finally, yes, I get something which controls my emotional problem. Okay, so then I'm taking it. Okay, it's all very good. I'm cooperating, learning how to get rid of this horrible emotional reactions I have, uncontrollable, anger. I'm a person like that. I used to kill people because of this. Several people like that. There's certain kind of medication, they find out, okay. So it's good. Once you're in the prison, can be a very good place. This is as good as any place else in the state. This is as good as a university, right? For serving the state. Is that kind of your question?
So when you say that they are in from Mahatattva, they are in goodness, is it a Vishuddha Sattva?
No, oh boy, Vishuddha Sattva.
That means in the
Vaikuntha Manas,
right?
No, Vishuddha Sattva, well, as far as I understand, Vishuddha Sattva, explaining it here, well, these are in states, At that point, you can see Krishna. This is, Kapila Dev explains that, Devasa Muni manifests that. It's kind of like going to Vishuddha Dakshai Vishnu. It's the way to do even. You can see, and usually it's at the doorway. Krishna comes out of the house and stands at the doorway and talks to you there. Like that, And so there's sat and chit, there's pure consciousness of Krishna, knowledge of Krishna. You can know God. Some people think this is all there is. They don't want to go beyond that. I know God. I can know Him every moment. But no, then there is, service and love, ananda. So, because even, the form of Shuddhakshaya Vishnu doesn't exist in the spiritual world. It goes back into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. For example, one example I use is like a mirror. When the mirror is there, then there's a reflection. And when there's no mirror, there's no reflection. So Shuddhakshaya Vishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu are like reflections of Mahavishnu. They only exist as long as there's a material world. They never did exist in that sense, right? In the sense of existing. They're always just some kind of... Prabhupada says, for example, the Mahatattva, Virat Rupa is the objective, material incarnation of Krishna. But Krishna never becomes a material object. So it's kind of imagination, but it exists. So all these things are very understanding, And so what Prabhupada is suggesting is Brahmande Brahma, he's paraphrasing Sanatana Goswami, paraphrasing part of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, the story of the gardener. And it starts with this verse, I think, A Brahmande Brahmate Kone Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Larbija. And you can see Prabhupada is taking it word by word. First and foremost point is that one must understand the prime importance of bhakti yoga. We're going through different species of life. Brahmande Brahmati. Yeah? Brahmande Brahmati, passing through different species of life. But in the execution of different activities, one who secures some resources of bhakti yoga can understand the importance of the devotional service. This happens by spiritual master, mercy of Krishna. So it's that verse. So somehow or other, you get this experience, we're discussing this before, then you've got some resources in bhakti yoga. But you have to go, with that in mind, you've got to go through all this. Yeah. There's a famous American poet, Walt Whitman. You know him? There's no him. Just stuck in this Hindu Sanskrit language. He's one of the most famous American poets. By the same time as Thoreau and what was the guy? Emerson. Yeah, early America, kind of. 1825, something like that. And he's kind of a Paramatma guy, some very intense poetry about life and reality and stuff. And so one of the things he said, life is a spiral. You know, I meet the same men, the same women, the same things again and again, but each time higher, higher. Life is a road. Come out on the road. Leave that house that you built for yourself or someone else built for you. He says that. You know, follow me, we shall be comrades to the end. Our emblems will be a good pair of walking shoes and a waterproof overcoat. He describes all these things in nature and taking water from the rivers and fruit from the trees and working and as a slave will be our brother and his pains. It's like very Paramatma, Virat Rup, appreciating God and nature and people. Very much. It's very good for preaching sannyas in America. Because it's an American poet, definitely. And it's like the idea is there. He says, I go into the house of the dying man. I throw open the window, chase the doctors out. And I say, grab your arms around my neck. I won't let you go down. I promise it. I swear it. Like that. I've tested the road. The road is good. Die. So he says, I'm going higher and higher, right? Where does it go? I don't know. But it goes someplace good. So what is he? You got all this analysis. Now you're a doctor. Take the pulse. Here's the guy's description, his words. What is he? Is he a karmi? No. Is he a gyani?
No.
Yeah? Is he a dhyani? Bhakti yogi?
Not bhakti.
Doesn't know the goal. But he knows it goes someplace good. Brahman. So he's pretty much a gyani. Yeah? Pretty much a gyani. He hasn't come to real intense meditation on any object yet. He's still meditating on the Virat Rup. Like that. He's appreciating it, getting this experience, So he's a gyani. A gyani yogi. As soon as the word yoga is there, it almost indicates bhakti yoga. This is the word yoga. But some really might say he's a gyani yogi, different than a gyani. Yeah? Yeah. Karmi, gyani, dhyani, yogi. Yeah. Karmi yogi, gyani yogi, dhyani yogi, bhakti yogi. Yeah. Bhakti yogi, karma mishra, bhakti yogi, gyani. So echoes. So he's a gyani yogi. Sounds like he wants to go up. He wants to be connected.
Something good, but he doesn't know
what. Yeah, doesn't know what. It's Brahman. It's Brahman, it's something. But he's convinced about that, Stuff's good, it's worth going there. So then as he becomes a dhyana yogi, he'll begin to actually can see the goal, understand the goal, right? And then in bhakti yoga there's this direct thing of understanding the rasa, having tasted it. And therefore I want it. Yeah? Some recourses. So, pretty much in the Kali Yuga, we need a seed. Without the seed in the Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. But once you have that, then there's a process. Then you've got a process you can follow. Right? And you got to follow it. And the weeds are growing along with the creeper. Desire for comfort. Oh, temple life is so comfortable. Desire for elegance. Oh, to dress like this, very elegant. Like that. What else? Prestige, fame, profit. One man was going to the temple. This is in Ramayana. One Brahmin, his puja, he was going to the temple to worship, the deity. And so a dog, street dog, ran in front of him like that. So he was insulted. He picked a rock up and threw it at the dog and hit him. The dog was bleeding. And the dog went up to him and challenged him. He said, that wasn't fair. My shadow didn't even touch you like that, you know. And so then the Brahmin's a little shocked. Other people are shocked. And he says, I'm going to complain about this. Come with me. I'm taking you to the king to learn Ram. See, Brahma's looking at everybody else, they're all looking at him, this talking dog, and so he goes behind them, they all follow, there's a line for Ram's court, Darbar, Hanuman, Sita, Lakshman, they're all talking to people, and they see this line, there's this dog with some blood on his face, and the Brahmana, and some people standing with him, and they go, what's this, you know? So finally it comes their turn, the dog makes his complaint to the king. Then Ram and everybody, Sita, they're all listening to this dog, you know? And then the Ram asks the Brahmana, well, is he telling the truth? And the Brahmana says, yes, it's a fact. I was arrogant and I hurt this dog unfairly. It's a fact. You know. So Ram nods and asks the dog, he says, well, what should his punishment be? After all, he's a talking dog, maybe he knows something. So the dog says, ah, okay. You should make him the head of a large spiritual institution. Like that. So then Ram says, that's punishment? The dog says, yes. That's what I was in my last lifetime. GBC body key. Till president key. Head cook key. Whatever. Yeah. So these are the weeds. And if you aren't careful, they'll produce their fruit. Yeah. Like that. You know? So he says from the very beginning, you know, one should take them out, otherwise they get big. And it becomes harder later on. If you're used to being in ISKCON because of position, and you can't have position, and it's very difficult to stay. Because that's your identification with your position in ISKCON, right? So the weeds get bigger, and it's harder to take care of them. I'm realizing that as I'm saying this. You go on and on. So from the very beginning, we should try and just hear from Prabhupada's books, hear the pure standard again and again. And remember, I'm just here as a servant, right? That's why I'm in this. Why I'm hearing and chanting, the society, everything else is just to be a servant. Yeah. Yeah. Be nice to the people that you meet on the way up. Yes, American business phrase. Be nice to the people that you meet on the way up, because you'll probably meet them again on the way down. Yeah. You'll probably meet them again on the way down, like that. As you're going up the ladder in the corporation, be nice to everybody, because when you start falling back down, you're going to meet them again on the way down. And if you weren't nice to them, they may kick you a few times as you're passing by. You know. So.
Don't burn the bridges.
Huh?
Don't burn the bridges.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because you may need them. Yes. Any. You know. This is, most generals know this. You mean you need to retreat? Yes, yes, sir.
My today is in Shivaratri.
Yes.
So I was just wondering that when we are living in Bhagavatam, this is Sadashiva Loka. It means spiritual world and material world.
The Sadashiva, I don't know. I guess as far as I know, it's a Vaikuntha world. Yeah, Shiva Loka is in between Mahavishnu Loka and Haridam, Haridam is above,
yeah,
with the material world,
yeah.
Swarga, material world, Durgadam, material world, Shiva Loka, and then Mahavishnu Loka, and Mahavishnu Loka is permanent. So Shiva Loka also doesn't exist in the spiritual world.
Is it permanent? Spiritual world?
No. When the material world ceases, again, it's a reflection.
Yeah.
So Sadashiva and Lakshmi move in front of the mirror and try to attract our attention because we're watching this mirror, And of course, in goodness, they're Shiva and Parvati. And their worship and their forms are not really different than Vishnu. Right? Little difference there. You know, practically speaking, it's almost the same as the Vaikuntha forms of, Narayan and Lakshmi. You know. But as we go more deeper down, we show somebody a distorted image and they go, ugh, they don't want to see their image reflected that way. But Shiva is so kind, he tolerates to be distorted and twisted and everything else. So they become Kali and Bhairava, and ghastly, horrible forms. But still, that form is actually connected to a transcendental form. So if you relate to that form by offering your offering your blood before you drink it, or whatever you do, your marijuana, whatever, to Shiva, then you'll go up, you know, you continue that path. So he's very kind. He's the most kind. He goes all the way down to these rascals and deals with them and gives them forms and corrects them, you know, like that. You know? And then they go up to different forms of, to the, finally come to by a, you know, very pure form, Shiva Parvati, and they go on and they go to Vaikuntha and realize the original form is you know, Sadashiva and Lakshmi. No, at the end of the night time, no. End of his life, yeah.
Yeah, end of his life.
Yeah, but at the end of his night time, no, when he's asleep.
No,
yeah, because everything else below is still.
Yeah. You know, end of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, night, it never exists. The whole thing, it never existed, really. You know, it's like, again, a reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know? So the real form is there, you know, Sadashiva and Lakshmi. But then the when the mirror ceases to exist, you know, then they cease to exist. But of course, you know, different Brahmas have different days, and you know, it's like reality. It's like all these complications and details, and, you know. So I think it's to build a good enough understanding to do our service here, you know, for the purpose of purification and going home back to Godhead. But if Krishna wants us to stay here, then okay, then we understand Krishna's external energy, you know, well enough to do our service. You know? Some of the prison, probably nobody understands how the whole prison, no one understands how the whole prison works, you know. But everybody has their position, their function, their job, and they understand how to do their service, you know. And they have the general outline of the whole thing. So they can be a Chandra Das, he's a psychologist in the prison. We go there with them. Actually, it's about as hard to get into prison as it is to get out. They have a security check, all these things, one thing after another. You get there, this, that. And finally, you're allowed to go inside. You know? And when you're inside, it's really a very frightening experience because you realize there's no way out. There's just every single, you know, crack and crevice is blocked. You're actually locked in an iron, you know, tank. Like that, and there are guards everywhere, and doors locked. And really, it's like a very frightening experience in some ways being there. Yeah. But they have a library. They have two chaplains for about 1,200 inmates, two priests, and the library is about the size of this room of religious books. And the inmates organized, it's very well indexed, organized like that. And then there's like a whole section of Hare Krishna literature and you know, audio tapes and everything else. There's a whole section of Jehovah's Witness literature and audio tapes. Self-Realization Fellowship has there, you know. And so that we're talking to the chaplain, he's a friendly guy. And he said, if you try and talk about God or religion in the schools, it's out. You know, it's, and they won't allow you to do it, you know, in the schools or in the television, radio. It's just like in the malls. No, really. Yeah, don't talk about these things. You know, can't discuss that here. You know, but he says somebody asked him. He said, well, "Where can I find about God? What can I find out about God?" And he's kind of laughing. He said, "Well, probably the best place to find him is go to jail, go to prison, because they're encouraging the prisoners. You know, they can check out these things. They give them a cassette player to listen to stuff in their room like that and stuff. You know, so it's kind of like." Society is in the mode of ignorance.
Yeah, the school, they don't teach you, so they can go to jail.
Yeah, go to jail. So, stay there.
I had one guy working for me in the yard, business.
Yeah.
He committed something, you know, and he was in the jail, and he wrote me a letter.
Yeah.
Saying that believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Is God.
Yeah.
So you are right. That
yeah.
He's in the jail, and he was.
My God.
And he's writing to me.
Yeah.
Jesus is God, believe in him.
He's in jail with me. He's in jail here with me. Jesus is in jail. Fine.
So I said, and I showed this to our boys.
Yeah.
My words. So,
yeah.
You're right.
It's true.
In the prison.
Yeah. So go to jail. a really nice library. it was all these interesting, all these books and different groups like that. So everybody donating, you know, the prisoners. Yeah, the whole section, actually the section of Prabhupada's books was actually, you know, most devotees would be envious of the collection they had of Prabhupada's books there and everything else like that, you know. In Self-Realization Fellowship, had about 20 cassettes or something on some course in Self-Realization, Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody was like, really complete, and well organized, you know, and accessible too. You can take the stuff out and everything else and study it, you know. So many things. So Papa Ki. Or you go to Mama Ki. Back home, back to God. She Radha Vrindavan Natabara. There's the deities in Tennessee. Yeah. Somebody made Vrindavan or something. They're making them. Swim. Huh? Well, they're from a mold. There's several of them. But these were for somebody's private home, and I think in some place like Baltimore or something like that. They couldn't take care of it anymore.